We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I've never had intro music. There's only one song. If I do karaoke, which I've maybe done twice in my life, it was Eddie Grant's Electric Avenue.
Gonna rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we take it higher.
My goodness, damn near perfect. He's a lot of fun to talk to.
Electric Avenue.
Now, here's 49ers Insider, Cam Inman.
Electric Avenue.
So I don't know who picked up the gas. I don't know who picked up the candy bars. Who's paying for the food getting thrown at you through a drive-thru window. But the man is on the road, following the 49ers to Philadelphia, making the pit stop in the state of Ohio. Now, are the Niners staying in Ohio, Cam, or is that you guys and they're still going to the Greenbrier? What's going on?
Yeah, we are eventually getting to West Virginia. We had a good weekend in Detroit and decided to come down through Ohio today. Stopped in Toledo and visited the Toledo Mud Hens field. Picked up some merchandise there, had lunch. Made it to Columbus. Going to be bunking in Columbus tonight before we press forward into the Moonshine State.
Nice. Well, have yourself a good time in Columbus. It's the home of White Castle, baby. Go get yourself some White Castles tonight.
No, I'm no better than that. And I've been traveling for over 20 years with this team, and I believe, honestly, I had White Castle for the first time I ever went on a pro trip, which was to Detroit. And I remember my colleagues introduced it to me, and the next morning I said, "You guys, that was terrible. We can't do that again."
Well, good. I'm glad you're making better choices.
Yes.
Can you tell us about this Brandon Ayuk choice to be the odd man out when he was – I mean, it looks like, you know, wide receiver one fell to wide receiver four, and no one really expected that or saw it coming. What was the catalyst for this? And I've seen the quote, "He needs to learn to be a pro." What does that mean, and who said that?
You know, Brandon Ayuk had a pretty good rookie season. He wasn't able to play every game. There were a couple of COVID issues. And, you know, the training camp, he seemed off a little bit. I mean, there were a couple drops here and there. He made some nice catches like he should be doing. And I don't know the whole backstory of it, but what I can tell you is Trent Sherfield played so well in training camp and in the preseason that he merited a spot where he was on the field. And the Niners don't deploy three wide receivers most of the time. Oftentimes it's two wide receivers and George Kittle, right? Sometimes it's two tight ends, like they opened up their game yesterday in two tight ends. So, I mean, there's not a lot of wide receiver reps to go around. So Kyle Shanahan's goal was to split the reps between Trent Sherfield and Brandon Ayuk. And Brandon Ayuk was on the sideline pretty much early in the game. They mixed him in. Now, the weird thing was today, you look at the snap counts, and I think it was 27 snaps for Sherfield and 26 for Ayuk. And you go, oh, okay, so the rotation kind of worked. Until then you look and see Brandon Ayuk was never targeted, and he only had one punt return for 7 yards. And so part of it, you can say, yeah, he had a hamstring issue a couple weeks ago, but that's not it. It's the fact that Trent Sherfield was performing better in practice, must know the offense better than Ayuk, which is pretty amazing to think about, that Brandon Ayuk's been in it for a year, and Trent Sherfield kind of just jumped into the fray this year, coming in from Arizona, where he was not known as a wide receiver at all. He was more of a special teams guy. But he caught Trey Lance's first and only pass yesterday for a touchdown.
So what are we to conclude then? Or is it too early to conclude anything? Because it does seem, you know, like there's more smoke than just Sherfield has suddenly emerged as being slightly better.
No, I think it's fine. I mean, that's the way it played out, and I can understand that. I think the bigger mystery was what happened with Trey Sermon, the running back. And this was a guy that you traded up for in the third round, and he couldn't even suit up and dress because he had fallen down the pecking order behind another rookie, who was Elijah Mitchell, who went off for over 100 yards yesterday, and Jamichael Hasty, who is a much smaller back, but they had him in there in pass protection. As a number three back, and he was needed to play a lot since Raheem Mostert went out. So, which now becomes kind of moot because Raheem Mostert's going to be gone for 2 months because of knee surgery, and now we'll see Trey Sermon in uniform come Sunday in Philadelphia.
We saw Trey Lance 4 times yesterday, 3 runs and a pass. Do you feel like that is typical Trey Lance usage? Do you feel like it's going to increase game to game, or what are we imagining for the next, say, 4 or 5 weeks of Trey Lance?
I think it also can be tied into how well Jimmy Garoppolo was playing. I mean, Jimmy came out and was in complete control, completed his first 8 passes, was very efficient. They were racking up tons of points. And, you know, that long completion he had to Deebo Samuel where he chucked it about 40 yards in the air before getting drilled, it kind of showed the grit, like what Kyle Shanahan wants in his quarterback. So this is kind of more, I know this isn't answering your Trey Lance question, but the Jimmy Garoppolo factor is he's played really well in that opener, and that's why he's entrenched as a starting quarterback. Now, I think this is what they wanted to do with Trey. You wanted to mix him in on a few packages. The fact that it happened on the first drive kind of was a little surprising, but not necessarily because they were down in the red zone. That's where you've expected it. They were also, he was used on short yardage. They put him in there on like a 3rd and 15 or 3rd and 20, which was kind of odd. But then again, it's just like, well, you give the kid a chance to see what he can do. And obviously it was kind of like a quarterback draw instead. He didn't do anything, gained 2 yards. But it gave him a taste of the pro action, right? It got him, and it got all the defensive coordinators that the 49ers are going to be facing. Now they have to go, shoot, they really are going to use a kid for at least a few snaps. So whether it's one snap they got to prepare for or 20, Trey Lance now is on the film, and that's kind of what the 49ers wanted.
Talking with Cam Inman here on 95.7 The Game. So the close call, more fluke than breakdown, more breakdown than fluke. Which is it?
Which close call?
The game that was 41-17 in the fourth quarter and then became winning by your chinny chin chin.
I thought you meant like a play call or a referee call, and then I'm like, oh, you just mean the whole fourth quarter collapse.
From the Verrett torn ACL on, what happened?
Look, I'm not going to blame it on Verrett's injury either. I mean, yeah, it cast a gloom over it, but that game was slipping away. I mean, and Verrett was part of it. Jared Goff was going after Jason Verrett rather than after Diamador Lenore, who was a rookie making his first start and getting 90 snaps in. It's after Verrett's injury, it was like more of the second stringers came in, and Shanahan wisely pulled the Bosa's, D Ford, Fred Warner's off the field, along with Jimmy Ward came off, and it just, Jared Goff attacked and saw the windows and found where to go, and they were scrambling, and they got the starters back on the field for that last drive, and this was D'Amico Ryans' debut as a defensive coordinator. And had he lost a 28-point lead, I'm going, this could have been his one-and-done time as a defensive coordinator. But obviously, there was a lot of issues there with the substitutes not playing up to the level that they need to. And then at the end, he called some good plays, and they had some good pressure from Samson Ebukam and Kentavious Street and Bosa to force Jared Goff to throw the fourth down incompletion, as he did the pick six. To Dre Greenlaw earlier with that good pressure. So I blame that a lot more on the defense. Deebo Samuel's fumble didn't help matters, and that was kind of a fluke. And then the onside kick that went off George Kittle's face mask, not as planned. And as Kittle called it, trash. So,
how, from what little you've had time to do this, is Philadelphia similar to Detroit in any ways, or do they present a whole different set of weird challenges than the Lions did?
Yeah, no, I think it's a totally different set. I mean, Jalen Hurts is a way different quarterback than Jared Goff, and I think they have more of the let's see what we can do here. They just had a big win at Atlanta, so their offense not only produced really well, but the defense did too. And this is a Philadelphia team where nobody gave anybody much of a chance because they hired a coach not many people have heard of in Nick Sirianni, and they hired away Bob Lang, the 49ers PR director, of course. But they came out and showed that they can play some big football, and which is, you know, it's kind of good for the 49ers, I think, because had they gone 0-1, the Eagles went 0-1 into their home opener, then they'd be like, oh, a little bit more pressure packed. Obviously, now they're going to try to go 2-0, but at the same time, they got to win under their belt, and the 49ers have reason to be confident. Yeah, they had two big injuries with Verrett and Mostert. But it's, a lot of their key guys are still in place, looking good. And Philly's got some more veterans on the lines too, Ray, whether it's the offense and defensive lines. And I think one thing that like I will start once we kind of get into this a little bit further was, remember the Eagles came into Levi's Stadium last year and beat the Niners pretty good. That was a game that got Nick Mullins benched because he wasn't playing well, and Trent Williams didn't play well. So it's kind of like, wait a minute. Wait, do they really have these linemen that could challenge the Niners more than the Lions did? Because the Lions are it's a definite rebuild franchise that don't have many talented players, like super talented players, I should say. They're all professionals and talented. But, so the Eagles could pose a much different challenge than the Lions.
Now that Lang's with the Eagles, are there any grievances you'd like to air? No, I'm kidding. Javon Kinlaw.
Bobby this weekend. Yeah, go ahead.
Javon Kinlaw obviously did not play yesterday.
Right.
The Lions also, before the meltdown even happened,
yeah,
the Lions seemed to be having their way running straight up the gut of the Niners' defense. Do you think Kinlaw returning largely solves that problem, or is there something bigger at work?
I think that's a little too easy to think that Javon Kinlaw is going to solve it when, I mean, he wasn't that dominant last year as a rookie, right? And we were all expecting him to play better in year two, but there's a knee injury that he started the season with that lingers going back to the end of last season and off-season surgery. So I don't think it's going to magically cure it. What I was surprised is one of the guys that had the breakdowns was Zach Kerr, a veteran who played really well through camp in the preseason. I thought this guy was that's fine. You can let Kinlaw get better for a couple weeks, but Zach Kerr and Kevin Givens and DJ Jones, like three interior guys, they combined for one assisted tackle in that game yesterday. And the Lions had three or four big runs up the middle where guys were not in their gaps where they're supposed to be. And then next thing you know, they're going full head of steam into Jimmy Ward, who's throwing his body, like his tackling methods. I was like, man, he's going to get hurt again, even though he played really well last year and the year before. But the way he throws his body and to make these stops in desperation, it was not good. So they need to plug that up, and you know the Eagles have a couple running backs that can do some damage, and also Jalen Hurts, because he's the mobile quarterback. The mobile quarterbacks have had problems, or the Niners' defense has had problems against mobile quarterbacks in this scheme the last few years, and so D'Amico Ryans better have those guys dialed in for that.
Well, and playing a mobile quarterback means you need your secondary to have eyes up too, because if you just turn your back and run with everyone, that's how you get in trouble. And that brings us to, you know, Dre Kirkpatrick, who the Niners signed today with the Verrett injury. Josh Norman did not dress. I'm guessing default means he does for Philadelphia. What do you expect from Dre Kirkpatrick? Do you think he hits the field by Sunday?
I don't think so, because Josh Norman didn't, right? I think you can have him up and just get him in the bullpen, so to speak. It is interesting, though, Damon, that you got... You know, you're bringing in Dre Kirkpatrick, who I think turns 32 pretty soon, right? He turns 32 next month. Josh Norman's 33. Well, Richard Sherman's 33, and they know Richard Sherman, and Richard Sherman knows the scheme, and they didn't get near him, even though yesterday Kyle Shanahan said Sherm's always a possibility. Well, I didn't buy that. I don't think he's always a possibility unless you're really going down the depth chart. So, yeah, it's... I don't know if he plays, but I want to see more of D'Amador Lenore. I want to see Ambry Thomas get used to playing some football. And you're not playing these all-pro quarterbacks, but if you have young guys that can chase after Jalen Hurts, get them experience.
Do you think it's getting bad enough that they might consider pursuing a trade rather than just sort of scraping the waiver wire.
You mean somebody such as Stephon Gilmore of the New England Patriots? Well, the problem with that is they're going to have to give up a high draft pick, and they've given up their first-round draft pick and for the next couple of years. So they're not really willing to give up draft capital for cornerbacks when you can get like some veterans off the scrap heap right now that are free agents. So no, I don't see them trading for a high-priced cornerback because it's not a position they necessarily value. They value defensive linemen, especially defensive ends, and those guys will help whoever's at cornerback. As you saw in that fourth down play with Jared Goff yesterday, you didn't know who was at cornerback, did you? Because you had some really good pressure in Goff's face and the ball never went near anybody.
So Penei Sewell and his inability to play football was overreported going into that game. And I know that Bosa really moved him around sometimes, but that's what Bosa's going to do to anybody. We saw him do that with Whitworth in a game against the Rams last year. So what'd you think of Bosa's debut? Or not debut, but return.
No. Yeah, well, I mean, it did feel like a debut, didn't it? Because everybody's been, I'm telling you, I was all excited to see this. I've never watched anybody probably more in a training camp than him, and he never barely even practiced. He was off to the side, and he looked great. So I was watching him a lot in the game, and he was going up against a rookie in Penei Sewell, and Sewell, got away with a lot of holds. Let me say that.
Cause lots of holds.
He was putting some arms in Bosa's neck, and it was like, but Bosa's second effort kept going, right? And Bosa would be involved in plays. He made a couple tackles for losses, right? So he was in there. He got a sack, I think it was in the fourth quarter, and I asked him about it after the game, and he said it was really nice, very rewarding. And I thought he played really well. The fact that he played 50 snaps, which was, I think, 55% of the action, that surprised me. I mean, I figured he'd try to get in about 50% of the workload, but when the other team gets 92 snaps, that's a lot for any defensive player. And for a guy coming off an ACL to play that much, my first question to Kyle Shanahan today was, how does Nick Bosa feel? There were no medical worries about Bosa after the game or today, so I think that's great news for the 49ers because he's just going to get better and better as he gets going here. And honestly, I think he really has to be the leader of this defense along with Fred Warner and Jimmy Ward. But Bosa's got to be the main guy on that defensive line. And even though Eric Armstead's the captain, I think all eyes are on Bosa.
Cam, thank you very much. I don't know where Toledo brings you tonight, but boy, I hope you have a great time.
All right, thanks, guys.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.